You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 13 January. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, we're chatting with Fima Adeer from Momentum Securities. I want to go back to that Mr. Price deal that they announced last year, the plan to buy a German fashion retailer. The market absolutely hated it. But I mean, I want to ask, is it that bad, or have perhaps now it's all been priced in? And even if it is a bad deal, it's kind of almost in that 160-odd rand price for Mr. Price. We're chatting with Harry Scherzer from Future Forex. Central bank independence as President Trump goes after Jerome Powell. And Kingsley Williams from Satrix. They've got a new global property ETF with a fairly decent US dollar dividend yield. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Eskom grid stronger than at any time in the last 5 years. 4,400 megawatts of additional generation capacity available compared to a year ago. And Business Day, US to vote on AGOA renewal this week. The House has approved it. Senate approval and Trump's signature are required as South Africa's eligibility remains in question. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.2%, NASDAQ 0.1% higher. The East, all green. We've got Sydney up 0.5%, Tokyo after being closed yesterday, 3% higher, Hong Kong almost 1% up, and Tencent almost 0.5% higher. Commodities mixed, gold futures $4,604, Brent 6408, and on the red side, platinum 2399, and palladium also slightly weaker, 1880. The rand is 1640, Bitcoin 91,200, and top 40 opening call, a green open, but 40 points, which is what, 0.03% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Training now with Fahima Adeer from Momentum Securities. Fahima, appreciate the early morning time. As I said in the intro, it was 10 December, so a little over a month ago, as Mr. Price announced that deal to buy the German fashion retailer. The market immediately disliked it, sold the stock off aggressively, continued to sell it post then. Your thoughts, is this as bad a deal as the market says, or is this just South African investors wary of international adventures, which have so often gone so badly wrong for our local companies?
Good morning, Simon. Yes, I think it's perhaps important to just revisit some of the reasons the market was not happy at the time. A big issue was the price paid, which was quite steep. If you look at the FY24 results of NKD, it worked out to a PE of around 37 times, which was quite pricey, you know, considering that NKD sales growth was above the general retail market there in Europe, but it does fall below the overall value segment there, and it is quite a competitive market. And then Mr. Price management also said that the deal would unlikely be earnings accretive in the first year. The other concern was that there hasn't been much financial information provided by Mr. Price on NKD. But yes, I do think on a more positive note, Mr. Price is obviously taking a longer-term view on this one. Given the weak growth environment locally, I think it does force these local companies to start searching for growth elsewhere in higher growth markets like Central and Eastern Europe. But it is, of course, about getting this right. Of course, a lot of the South African companies, like you've said, have ventured offshore and failed miserably. But Mr. Price did put out another update towards the end of December to say that it intends to host that capital markets event to provide some further information on NKD once regulatory approvals have been met. So I think if that capital markets event goes well, it will probably be a catalyst to seeing the share price push a bit higher, because from a valuation perspective, It is quite oversold. Market hasn't quite forgiven it as yet. But yeah, I think in general also just under quite a bit of pressure because of the general underperformance in the South African retail sector.
Yeah, I take your point. It wasn't a great 2025 before this. And the price for the deal, I mean, you know, the balance sheet of Mr. Price is not stretched. In fact, they've got a net cash position. They're not going to have to do rights issues or something. This isn't, you know, and I'm thinking, of course, to Woolies and David Jones, a different category, but we also had the famous brands who both had to, you know, they actually took on significant debt, did rights issues. This isn't as expensive, perhaps, either.
Yes, so they will be funding it with a portion of debt, but they do seem to have the cash for it. And, you know, the CEO did say that they've done deep research into mm-hmm. the business and that this price makes sense based on what they have looked at. So I think the problem might just be that the market is kind of in the dark regarding that information at the moment. And once we get more clarity on what value they are seeing in this at that Capital Markets Day, it would perhaps just relieve investors somewhat. So I'm looking forward to that event. Hopefully we'll just get a lot more color.
Yeah, and that's it. I think your point is well taken there. It's the Capital Markets Day. That's hugely important. Let's see what comes of that. We don't have details yet. We'll keep an eye on the sense. Fahima Edea, Momentum Securities, appreciate the early morning. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Good deal or not? What's your view on it? The market has spoken. Make no mistake. The market does not like it. But I do think, I mean, sooner rather than later, let's get some more information. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Give you money, smoother returns with Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting with Harry Schoser. He is CEO of Future Forex. Harry, appreciate the time. Over the weekend, the U.S. Justice Department has announced that they are investigating Jerome Powell. He put a statement out, a fairly punchy one, actually, early our time Monday morning. The crux here really is around sort of central bank independence. And I was going to say, there's not much precedent for this, but actually there is. I mean, Nixon put pressure on his central banker in the 70s. We have had Ergon in Turkey do it. We know how it ends. Not well.
Yeah, absolutely, Simon. Thanks for having me on. And this is a really fascinating headline because you have a situation where one of the constitutional sort of reasons that America works is because of independence between government and the central bank. And this was infringed upon in Nixon's days.
Yeah.
And Trump is potentially doing something similar. And that creates a huge amount of distrust within the market as a whole. If the market can't trust that the monetary policy is set without the president's interference, then it's very difficult to invest in an economy where there's intermingling between different departments and ultimately a conflict of interest.
Because that's just it. I mean, central banks and their independence is so that they can make those hard decisions, which oftentimes politicians and truthfully the consumer on the street might not like. But it is, you know, it is that ability to make it kind of regardless. And it's the setup, the way they stagger terms, the duration of terms in the Federal Reserve to give that independence.
Yeah, if we take a step back, Simon, what it really comes down to is that a president will want results now. They want the current results to be incredible. And in order to get that, they would want interest rates to be cut because then borrowing becomes cheaper, businesses grow quicker, everything looks great on the surface. The problem is that years in the future, we might find that inflation spirals out of control as a result, and naturally, call it four or five years later, the next presidency is stuck with a complete mess. And so for that reason, the central bank governors have to be looking at long-term projections rather than short-term projections, whereas presidents are more akin to look at the short-term valuation of the country, and effectively that is what's going to shape how they look as a president. And so that's the reason underpinning the necessity for independence. And it's always been that way until, I guess, recently, apart from Nixon back in the day. So it really is a scary thought that there might be interference here.
And you make a great point there, because it also, it's going to play out slowly. I mean, we're seeing some of the risk pricing already happening, gold, US 10-year equity markets. But this is not a January and February. It's not even necessarily a 2026 implication. This happens down the line in years to come.
Exactly. So in fact, in the short term, what we might see is the market might be delighted, or rather the people might be delighted with lower interest rates. Everyone's super happy. Everyone says, yes, Trump, well done. The problem is that you're really doing the opposite of investing in your future. You're investing in now at the expense of the future, which is exactly what the central bank is supposed not to do. It's supposed to be looking into the future and saying, I'm sorry, you can't have XYZ, because in the future, we'll be in trouble if we give that. And so that's really, that can't be undermined. As we saw, as you mentioned, in Turkey with Erdogan, he effectively did manipulate the central bank. And ultimately, it looked good temporarily, but then it looked absolutely awful when they hit 85% inflation. And effectively, the poor people of Turkey just became poorer.
Yeah, and it did. I mean, to your point, it absolutely went out of control. Is the big hit here going to potentially be the sort of long-dated US debt? I'm thinking the 10 years. Because you buy a 10-year debt and you're not sure about what inflation's going to be, you want a better yield for protection.
Yeah, absolutely. The price of US Treasury bonds is going to have to go up. This is back to inflation going up. If you can't trust the underlying economy, if you can't trust who you're loaning to. So it might be something which is basically shooting yourself in the foot in the long run. And yeah, it really is a scary thought, because I'll say, just to sort of temper expectations here, I'll say that the market hasn't reacted particularly badly yet. And the reason is that this is the very start of something happening. And I think the market kind of expects, much like with a lot of what happens with Trump, it'll sort of be basically just nothing will come of it, and it's a lot of talk about nothing. But the fact that this is even a topic of discussion is scary, right? We would hope that this would never be a topic of discussion.
Yeah, and this is not something you and I should be chatting about on a random Tuesday morning. It also, and the one response has been gold trading up to all-time highs, because of course, gold is your classic, safe haven, put it under your bed type of investment.
Yeah. You'd think that being in South Africa, we'd be able to say, fantastic, if America does poorly, that reflects well on the rand dollar. But unfortunately, when America coughs, South Africa gets a cold. And so really what ends up happening is we'll feel it as well. And if you want to be safe, if you really want to be safe from all of this and you are scared about this, gold is the place to go, because that's the safe haven asset. And so that's the reason that it's trading at all-time highs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the story for gold has been strong for the last many years. This just adds, truthfully, another tick to it. We leave it there. That's Harish Azar. He is CEO at Future Forex. Appreciate the insights.
Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Kingsley Williams here, of course, the Chief Investment Officer at Satrix. Kingsley, always appreciate the early morning. A new ETF from Satrix actually came out last month, but in all of the year-end craziness, I have to be honest, I missed it. Offshore property, talk around the underlying index it is tracking. I mean, these are obviously REITs. These are global REITs. I imagine they are developed market real estate investment trusts.
Yes, good morning, Simon, and best wishes for this year and to all of your listeners. May it be as good a year in the markets as we had last year.
Sure, absolutely.
we did actually launch this late last year, but we went easy on the media, given that everyone was wanting to get their holiday started. So, we've put out the announcement that this product is now available. It was an obvious gap in our growing product range and suite. So we didn't have a global real estate or global property building block. And this is an asset class that gets used in multi-asset portfolios or in portfolios where you're trying to diversify your exposure. And given the higher allocation to offshore allowances following the Reg 28 changes a couple of years ago, investors are becoming more granular in how they want to construct that offshore exposure. So having access to a global real estate ETF to gain that exposure is very important. And I think the key thing that we did with this product was make sure that we could launch it at the right pricing point, tracking the right benchmark. So we've ticked both of those boxes in our opinion. It tracks the FTSE EPRA Nareit developed index. So that's all the developed real estate trusts and companies operating property assets. Quite interestingly, offers some interesting and different type of exposure to what you typically find in your local property basket listed on the JSE. So, you know, a lot of digital economy type real estate, you know, data centers powering cloud and AI, which we all are using every day now to answer various questions. You know, logistics warehouses to fulfill e-commerce, the growing e-commerce means of shopping, you know, so less malls and more, you know, exposure to those logistic warehouses. And then also, interestingly, healthcare and retirement real estate facilities, which obviously in the developed market, you've got aging populations. And so that is a big theme and trend that that this gives you exposure to.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the offshore REIT space is, as you say, fundamentally different. I mean, healthcare is there. Lots of residential office, but office not as big as perhaps it was once upon a time. You mentioned the diversification. And of course, that's a big part of where the REITs sit into it. They also typically fairly good with dividend yield. Now, this one, and this is for the October 25 data, a 4% yield. And listeners might think, hang on, I can get 7 or 8 locally. But this is 4% in US dollars. And that's a good yield for a dollar investment.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, this, you know, property sits in that interesting space between a growth asset like equities and an income generating asset like bonds. So it sort of sits in between those two, generally on the longer duration bond side. You know, certainly in our portfolios, we haven't been terribly excited by developed market bonds for a long time. You know, the yields that you get, the real yields you get sort of after inflation are not terribly exciting from a return perspective, particularly with the yields that we have access to in our local market. But yeah, this is a way to enhance the yield that you would otherwise be able to get from global bonds, and also a way to diversify away and get exposure to you know, different types of real estate assets that are, you know, not as concentrated in the South African market as you know, as would otherwise be the case.
And that's a good point. And looking at the geographic exposure, I mean, the US is big at just over 62%. Again, this is for end of October. And that's, I think, in the more vanilla, it's closer to sort of mid-70s. But then Japan at 9.3 and Australia at 6.7. It does give us sort of markets which I typically, as an investor, wouldn't have much exposure to. They're small weightings, but it is a different geographic than the more traditional, which would sort of be US then Europe.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, this, yeah, so it's giving you that developed market geographic exposure. And I think, you know, in that there's obviously a degree of, you know, diversification that you get from a South African perspective because of the way the Rand works with you know, with other currencies around the world. So it provides a natural sort of protection should the Rand weaken and we be in a risk-off scenario, something we haven't experienced for the last year, but it does happen. And so you get exposure to all of those developed economies. You also get exposure to the way that developed companies and real estate companies are managed and governed, which I think is a good thing and something never to be forgotten about and to be considered in the way that your portfolio is constructed to have those different regulatory and governance structures in place to protect the asset ultimately. But yeah, I mean, we when we construct our multi-asset and balanced portfolios, we go through quite a lot of detailed work to look at which asset classes make sense in a broadly diversified portfolio to essentially pay off when other things aren't paying off. And global property definitely has a role to play. I would say probably higher up on the risk-return spectrum rather than being more of a defensive asset class. But it's a great complement to some of the other traditional asset class exposures that you would have in a balanced portfolio. And this is a great complement as well to our real assets branch of products that we've now got, which this adds to. So we've got global listed infrastructure, which is very much more a defensive real assets play. And now we've added the global property, which is sort of higher up on the risk return spectrum. But both play an important role, in a well-diversified portfolio.
I absolutely agree 100%. The code is STXGLP and total expense ratio 0.45%. Kingsley Williams, Chief Investment Officer at Satrix, appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We're chatting with Nick Kunze yesterday, Sanlam Private Wealth, talking commodities. They had a spectacular 2025 and they are starting 2026 on the front foot. We asked you if you thought it was going to be another bullish year for commodities. 40% said yes, looking good. A third said some more than others. And the rest were saying, nope, you worry, they will fade. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobukle, Siren, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow, finding strong returns outside of tech.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.